The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In relationship to God, how many different types of forgiveness are there? Have you heard of fellowship forgiveness? Well, we will talk about it today here on Grace in Focus, and we're delighted that you've joined us. Grace in Focus is a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to know us better and learn about our free grace position by going to our website, faithalone.org. There are literally hundreds of articles that you can read. We have a store. You can find our daily blogs there and all about our conferences. That's at faithalone.org. You can also view our YouTube videos, short videos that come out 2 to 3 times per week, at our YouTube channel, YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. Now, with today's discussion about fellowship forgiveness, Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Okay, Bob, we have a question today from Robert asking about an article you wrote about the shed blood of Christ, but in particular, I guess, about this concept of fellowship forgiveness. And he asks, can we ever lose that fellowship forgiveness and revert back to needing to be re-forgiven?
Yes. So now we have any more questions?
Okay, let's. I guess you better define what fellowship forgiveness is first, right?
What I learned when I was at Dallas Seminary, and even when I was on staff before that with Campus Crusade for Christ, is that there's two types of forgiveness, positional forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness. Positional forgiveness is the idea that at the moment you believe in Jesus, you're forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future. And the basic idea is you need forgiveness of all your sins in order to go to heaven when you die or in order to go to the kingdom after the rapture. And so you'll be forever with Jesus because all your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. But there's also something called fellowship forgiveness. And according to this view, just like your parents accept you always if they're good parents, no matter what you do, there are times when you need forgiveness of your parents in order to be in good fellowship with your parents. Or the same thing with your spouse. So you go to them and you say, please forgive me, I've sinned, I've messed up, and your spouse or your parents forgive you, and you go on in fellowship with them.
And in both instances, they're still going to be your spouse, whether they are forgiven or not, or you're still going to be your parents' child, whether you were forgiven or not. There's just this barrier in relationship at that point in time.
Right. The idea is 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I used to equate forgiveness and cleansing. I don't anymore because 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And 1 John 1:9 distinguishes forgiveness and cleansing. If we confess our sins, God forgives us of those sins, and then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness and cleansing are ongoing sorts of things that happen as we acknowledge our sins. I no longer believe there's such a thing as positional forgiveness, because if forgiveness is where there is a fellowship that's ongoing, if I'm walking in the light and I'm confessing my sins, I'm not going out of fellowship with God, I'm retaining fellowship. But if I've walked in the far country, Luke 15, and I'm the prodigal, then I have to actually repent in order to get back in fellowship with God. Notice in 1 John, repentance doesn't occur at all because these are people who are already in fellowship with God, and they simply need to continue in fellowship with God by confessing their sins whenever they're aware of them. And then God forgives them and cleanses them. So in terms of fellowship, we need ongoing fellowship. And that's the point of 1 John 1:9. And we need it all the time. Because there's no point, 1 John 1:8 or 1 John 1:10, in which we're sinless. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. If we say we haven't sinned, you know, we make God a liar. And so we cannot say there's any point in our Christian experience where we've arrived. I don't know how long we can go without sinning. Is that a few minutes? Is that a few hours? I don't know. I don't think it's long. But the scriptures don't try to tell us other than There's no point at which we can say, I've become sinless.
So for a believer, everlasting life can't be lost, but fellowship can be lost.
Yes, fellowship can be lost, and forgiveness can be lost. But let's say that I'm in fellowship with God. Well, then, when I recognize a sin in my life, it's not that I'm out of fellowship with Him, that I lack fellowship with God. What I lack is ongoing forgiveness. And so by confessing it, He forgives me and cleanses me. And the reason I don't believe in positional forgiveness anymore is if forgiveness is either a restoration of fellowship or a continuation of fellowship, how can you do that in the future? Like, we're to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you forgive your spouse in advance? Do you forgive your children in advance? I don't think so. I don't think you say to your spouse, now, look, whatever you do in the future, I'm going to forgive you of that. Or I'm forgiving you of it right now.
Yeah.
Whatever you do in the future. I've heard free grace people say that these would be extreme. I guess you'd call it hyper grace.
Yeah.
Say that you don't ever need to confess your sins. And in fact, confession of sins is legalistic. I've heard some free grace people say that 1 John 1:9 is a salvation verse. This is how we're born again, by confessing our sins. And then the forgiveness there refers to justification, basically. And so we're justified when we confess our sins. And I've heard some hyper-grace people say we're never out of fellowship with God. Never. And that is completely wrong.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
I don't think 1 John 1:9 is saying, like a light switch, we're in fellowship, and then we commit a sin, and we're out of fellowship, and then we confess it, and we're back in. If that were the case, in the course of a day, you'd be in fellowship and out of fellowship, ultimately, scores of times.
So would you say a person who's out of fellowship is the person who refuses to acknowledge or refuses
right.
to confess?
Or the person who simply stopped coming to church, they've stopped reading their Bible, they've stopped praying. Think of Luke 15. The prodigal son made a conscious decision to leave the father and go to the far country. And then he made a conscious decision. The text says he came to his senses and he realized things were a lot better back at the Ponderosa for the hired help than they were for him where he was. And so he wanted to go back to his father and say, just make me one of the hired help. Of course, when he gets back, he finds out the father hugs him and gives him the ring and gives him the robe and gives him the sandals and slays the fatted calf and throws a party for him. And he's not received back as hired help, he's received back as a son. But the father does say, this my son who was dead is alive again. Dead there refers to out of fellowship with me. Alive again means back in fellowship with me.
So is confession and repentance the same then, or is that there's some little bit difference?
No, they're different. In 1 John, the issue of staying in fellowship is confessing my known sins. Mm-hmm. And like I say, that's the tip of the iceberg. I think we're aware of maybe 1% of our sins. So in the course of a day, we may be aware of 10 sins or 5 sins or something, 20 sins.
And I guess that's where it's important to be in God's Word, because God's Word helps to reveal what is sin in our lives.
Exactly.
Right?
So God's Word tells us what's sin. And of course, we also have the Holy Spirit that can reveal sin in our life. And if you're married, you have a real help, because your wife, if you're a guy, has a sin radar, and they can tell you when you sin. I know sometimes I have to say, what did I do wrong?
Well,
but I know I did something wrong.
I'm sure we have some unmarried single folks who are listening to us, but I guess in that case, maybe godly friends can provide that type
That's
of counsel.
That's right. But you know, I say it jokingly, but truly, your spouse can help you recognize areas of sin in your life that you're unaware of.
Sure.
And they may have to point this out to us.
Right.
And it may be them saying, you know, maybe you really need to think this thing. Because I think what you're talking about doing there is wrong.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable. Like, let's say, for example, one spouse wants to cheat on the income tax, and the other spouse says, no, I don't think that's right. I think that's wrong. I don't think we can cheat on our income tax. And they're like, yeah, but the government will never find out. Well, I don't care whether they will or they won't. That's not something we should do. And in my opinion, then you wouldn't sign the form until it's made right, because you'd be like, no, that would be cheating. Yeah. We're not supposed to do that. Jesus did say specifically, render under Caesar or Sam.
Right.
The things that are Sam's, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why it's important for our single people to look for a spouse that is a believer, but not just a believer, but that wants to follow the Lord, that will help you walk closer to the Lord.
That's absolutely right. If you marry a mature believer, then that person is going to be helping you. But if you marry an immature believer, that person is likely to be pulling you down. And that person is the person likely saying, well, let's go get drunk, or let's cheat on our taxes, or let's do this, that, or the other. They're likely to be moving you in the wrong direction. The good news for us is the Holy Spirit always moves us in the right direction and is leading us to confess our sins.
Yeah.
But we also have churches. If we're in a good church, churches help us. Sometimes they'll exercise church discipline. If they recognize we're doing the wrong thing and we're away from the Lord, well, then they'll confront us. And that will lead us. If we're actually in denial, then we need to repent.
Yeah. So in summary, what would you say about this fellowship forgiveness? It's something we need, right?
We need ongoing fellowship forgiveness, day by day, hour by hour, all the time. It's an ongoing issue. But it's not like a light switch where we're in fellowship, out of fellowship, yeah, all the time. But instead, we maintain fellowship with God because of the shed blood of Christ. As long as we're walking in the light of God's word and we're confessing our sins as we become aware of them, we're acknowledging our sins as we become aware of them, we continue to walk in fellowship with God. But that continued fellowship with God requires ongoing forgiveness, fellowship forgiveness, again and again and again. And we're getting ongoing cleansing again and again and again. And so God is in the business of forgiving and cleansing. If you want to read more about that, look at John 13, where he washes the disciples' feet. And they're already clean, but they need ongoing cleansing.
And all this was possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Absolutely. The blood of Christ not only is what makes us savable, but it also is what is necessary for ongoing forgiveness.
And with that, let's keep
grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, the apostles abandoned Christ at his crucifixion. So will they be able to rule with him in the millennium? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.